Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. Today we are going to review two normal ABV IPA beers. They are India Ale from the brewery Nils Oskar in Sweden, and Punk IPA from the brewery Brewdog in Scotland. Our first contestant this week is the India Ale from the Nils Oskar Brewery, an old acquaintance of ours, in Nyköping in the region of Sörmland, some 60 US miles south of Stockholm. The brewery quite recently changed owners, but they remained Sörmland owned. The ale assortment contains water, barley malt, hops, and yeast. The malts in this beer are Pilsner malt, Münchener malt, and caramel malt. The hops are from the US and they are Amarillo, Cascade, and Hallertau Polaris. Although Hallertau is originally a German hop sort, different hops are frequently cultivated in multiple areas around the world, sometimes as far away as New Zealand. India Ale is gluten-free. This particular beer was good until March 2021, according to the best before date on the bottle. Oops! This particular beer's expiration date was almost a year ago? It should be good anyway. They cannot have been very generous when fixing the expiration date on this beer assortment. Besides, the beer has been standing in my cooler for the whole duration since I purchased it. The India Ale assortment comes in a standard glass bottle. The bottle is size 33 centiliters, or about 11 liquid ounces. The label is one-folded, in the colors orange, white, and green. Hello, Ireland, and with an old picture of Nils Oskar on the front label. Nils Oskar was the former owners, who were three sisters in the family, great-grandfather, according to Systembolaget's website. The beer costs about 20 Swedish kronor, i.e. $2.20. That is 80 cents per 4 ounces of beer, which is really cheap for an ale. The preferred serving temperature is, according to Systembolaget, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing on their website about preferred serving temperatures. India Ale has got a 5.3% ABV. How about the experience then? Flowed over. Let's see here. Degrees Celsius. Degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, it's a little bit cool, too cool, but it's gonna work anyway. Okay. It hasn't got a tall head at all. One finger, about one finger, barely one finger tall. It's in color, it is nice, yeasty looking orange brown color. It's succulent. I can hardly see my fingers through the glass, just a shadow of them. Okay, first impression. It's a little bit cool, it is, but I don't feel numb when I drink it. The first impression is that this is a good beer. Very hoppy. It's pretty rich. It is. For a 5.3%, it's especially rich, perhaps. Well, it's rich. And it's not bread-like, but a little bit yeasty, and it should be. I like beers yeasty. It's malty. Most beers are. Taste on my palate. It tastes good, like a peach or something. It's not very sweet. Not at all. It's a little bit bitter. It's hoppy. It's hoppy. It's very good. It's not candy-like. It's fruity. It's like orange peels. Little Well, quite much if you wait a few seconds while drinking, as taking a sip. So if I wait a few seconds, it gets more orangey. I think that it has got some spices. But not herbs. I don't think so. The undertone is peachy. I mean, a little bit like peach. The carbonation level is, well, I actually think that, excuse me now for a minute, a second. There is certainly some carbonation level in it. Not very high, but there is some. And creaminess. Is it creamy? No, it's not. Is it acidic or does it have any aberrations? I don't think so. So, there is some pine needle taste in it, but it's not in a bad way. It's more like it's bitter or hoppy. So not pine needle per se, but who's got pine needle in beer? I mean, no one. But I usually don't like the pine needle taste. But this one is okay. Peach or apricot, perhaps apricot. Oh, well, I don't know, peach or apricot taste. Let's see. That's it. Okay, what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? Well, I think I grade this beer 8 devils out of 10 possible. So pretty standard for me and Sustainblogger's beers. There are much worse beers at Sustainblogger to buy, to purchase if you want to. But it's excuse me. This is one of the better beers. And they usually sell good beers, but there are exceptions. There are plenty of carbonation level in this one. Thank you. And let's go on to the next beer. Our second contestant for today is the Punk IPA, from the multinational brewery and pub chain BrewDog, based in the small city or big town of Elon, some 16 US miles north of the city of Aberdeen in Scotland. The ingredients in Punk IPA are water, malted barley, hops, and yeast. Other than that, I can find no more information about this beer assortment, either on their website nor on the can. This particular beer is good until and into March 2022, according to the best before date on the bottle. The Punk IPA assortment comes in a can. The can is size 33 centiliters, or about 11 liquid ounces. The can is bluish with dark text on it. Its design is cool. The beer costs about 20 Swedish kronor, i.e. $2.20. That is 80 cents per 4 ounces of beer, just like the former beer. So cheap. The preferred serving temperature is, according to Systembolaget, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nada about preferred serving temperature. Let's see here. About 15, 16 degrees Celsius. It is. I put it under the tap, the water tap. 57 degrees Fahrenheit. So I had some hot water. I flushed it with hot water on the outside of the can. So it's this one is a little bit too warm. It's funny, but that's the way it is. Punk IPA has got a 5.4% ABV. Did I say that? That's 0.1% much more than the former beer. That's nothing. How about the experience then? Nice sweet smell, aroma from the foam. It's 2 fingers tall. The head is 2 fingers tall. The color is it's feculent. I can hardly see my fingers through the glass. It's yellowish, brownish, yellowish. Yeah, yellowish, yellow. A little bit feculent it is. Okay. How about the experience then? Color, aroma, and foam. First impression. It's sweet. Sweet-like. But not all that sweet, but sweet enough. It's a honey-like taste. This one has got pineapple taste almost. Yes, a pineapple taste. It's pretty rich. It's not exactly bread like, more fruity like, fruity. It's not exactly yeasty, but it definitely got a pineapple taste. Pineapple. Taste on my palate a little bit, well, it's a good beer. It's not that sweet, but it's pineapple. So it is fruit sweet. Bitterness or hoppiness? Let's see. It's hoppy, a little bit bitter. It's not candy-like, and as I said, pineapple. Spices, I'd say there are some herbs. Excuse me. Excuse me, it's got a pretty high carbonation level. Yes, herbs, some herbs in it. And maybe some spices. The undertone is, pineapple. Or hoppiness. It's not creamy. Actually, I wish it had been a little bit more sweet. Because I would have liked this beer sweet. Like there's a Norwegian beer I bought several times. What's it called? Let's see. It's called Amundsen. Amundsen, a Norwegian beer. And that's also pineapple taste in that one. And it's sweeter than this one. I actually like Amundsen very much. But that's not the beer we're reviewing today. So let's put it away. This one is not so sweet then. But still pineapple taste. Now that's strange, but I don't even know if they have pineapples in it or pineapple juice. Not acidic and there are no aberrations. So what do I grade this beer? I grade this beer devils out of 10 possible. If it had been a little bit more sweet, I mean, it would have, I would have graded it 9 or 10 perhaps. What can I say? I've got a sweet tooth, as they say in some English-speaking countries. Not mentioned here. So, 8 devils out of 10 possible. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underaged or pregnant. This week's lesson is called Nordic Defense Cooperation. In a joint article on Friday, April 10th, 2015, the defense ministers of Sweden, Finland, Norway, and Denmark, plus Iceland's foreign minister, presented their plans for increased military cooperation between the countries. In the declaration, the ministers declared that deepened cooperation with the statement, "We must relate to Russia's actions, not to Kremlin's rhetoric." We believe that Russia has shown that it is ready to use military means to achieve its goals, even when it violates international principles of international law. The Russian Foreign Ministry responded in a communique 2 days later that what worries Moscow most is that Sweden and Finland tend to increasingly approach NATO. The Foreign Ministry in Moscow also accused the Nordic countries of having embarked on an anti-Russian course. Russian Foreign Ministry also claims that the public in the Nordic countries have been subjected to an aggressive, implied anti-Russian propaganda recently. But NATO's highest political leadership welcomes a deepened Nordic defense cooperation. Independent Russian military expert Alexander Goltz says Moscow's worst fears are being realized. but Russia will not respond with military means. I'd rather hear it from the NATO Secretary General, but okay. 4 points in the deepened cooperation. More common exercises. Joint industrial cooperation, also in defense context. Joint exchange of intelligence information. Joint processing of cyber material. What can halt a Nordic defense cooperation is if Iceland is not given space and assistance to build up its own defense. We witnessed it happening in August 2015. Russia decided to stop imports of, among other things, Icelandic fish. The trade conflict with Russia has sparked a debate in Iceland. Several important Icelandic politicians, even ministers, have questioned whether their small export-dependent country can actually afford to continue supporting the other Western countries' sanctions policy against Russia. The fishery accounts for around 35% in 2017 of all exports from Iceland. And Russia is the second largest market for Icelandic fish products. Therefore, the entire Icelandic economy was hit hard on August 13, 2015, when Russia decided to stop importing food from Iceland. Russia aimed their punishment at Iceland for standing with EU's sanctions against Russia, even though Iceland is not an EU member. EU sanctions against Russia include financing of Russian banks controlled by the state, an arms embargo, and restrictions on exports to the Russian energy sector. Ukraine, Albania, Montenegro, and Liechtenstein have also ended up on Russia's blacklist for similar reasons as Iceland. Russia's blacklist is Russia's response to EU sanctions policy. A government source in Reykjavik states that preliminary figures indicate that the Russian import stop will cost Iceland 3% of the country's total exports and 1.5% of their GDP. Russia has so far bought almost half of all mackerel exported from Iceland. Instead, when that market is closed, Iceland is or was trying to get the EU to reduce its 18% tariff on Icelandic mackerel. The tariff originated as an effect of the mackerel war, where Iceland has had difficulty in accepting the EU's and Norway's mackerel quotas in the North Atlantic. As Iceland receives this kind of blow because they support the EU trade sanctions against Russia, it is only natural that Iceland ask for flexibility and for the EU to reduce these tariffs. A quote from Kolbein Arnason, head of the Icelandic Fisheries Industry Organization, SFS, quote, "When it comes to these, Russian, sanctions, there is probably no other country in Europe that is hit as hard as Iceland. We as an organization try not to end up in the middle of an international dispute, but we must somehow minimize the effects of this," end quote. And the source was Sveriges Radio. For the Nordic countries to be able to stand united as a force to defend ourselves in a world that increasingly exhibits economic, political, and military irregular competitive conditions, it is necessary that we coordinate regulations and permits for sea traffic regarding foreign warships through the Danish Stora Belt and the Swedish-Danish Öresund Straits. Consider the idea to coordinate and or limit foreign naval passage through the Danish and Swedish Straits. Will it solve any safety problems for our two countries, or any countries in the Baltic Sea? Up to date, Russian and Chinese naval ships have repeatedly passed through either one or the other strait. If no, how do you figure? If yes, i.e. that it will solve safety problems, how would it affect the relations between the former two historically often with each other belligerent nations of Sweden and Denmark? Danes and Swedes have fundamental differences in mentality. Danes are continental, whilst Swedes are not. Sweden have more similarities with the classic America than they have similarities with Denmark. Russian shenanigans. Swedish Minister of Defense Peter Hultqvist told the newspaper Dagens Nyheter in December before Christmas that Russia's new demands to limit NATO in Eastern Europe are completely unacceptable to Sweden. And on Friday, the 7th of January 2022, NATO foreign ministers sat down to discuss the tense situation between Russia and Ukraine. This week, more meetings will take place or have already happened between the US and Russia, among others. On the 11th of January 2022, two beach landing crafts of the Rupucha class and one of the Ivan Gren class from the Russian Northern Navy, NM, passed into the Baltic Sea from both the Danish and the Swedish Straits and are now in the already crowded port of Baltijsk in the Russian exclave Kaliningrad. There were already four disembarkation vessels from the Rupucha class based in the Baltic Sea. The Rupucha class can, for example, transport 8 to 10 tanks together with 150 soldiers or 10 to 12 anti-tank vehicles with 150 soldiers. The Ivan Green class can move, for example, 13 tanks together with 300 soldiers or 36 anti-tank vehicles together with 300 soldiers in addition. The ship also has two helicopters of the model KA-29. Also, it was a surprisingly quick withdrawal of Russian troops from Kazakhstan following on the January 2022 recent Russian incursion in that country. You should know that Kazakhstan supplies 40% of the world's uranium worldwide. Why would Putin want to leave? Is he a saint? Sources for this are Sveriges Radio and Jägarchefen, among other sources. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile.
Oh, thank you.